I've got some, how can I say, some factual bits to get through first. So I've put it on the screen. For those who don't know, I've done two other preaches on this similar subject about the gate. If we go to the second one, and I've done it on, on comfort and compromise already, and this one is on fear. And let me say, it's been quite a while to sort out this word on fear, because I've had problems with it. But I'll come on to that in due course. Oh, that's right. I've printed on both sides. I remember once doing printing out map instructions, and I forgot I printed on both sides. So I did the first page, went on to the third page, and I waited for the instruction to go. And then suddenly I found I was on the M1 going down south. And I thought, that's not on my instructions. So anyway, sorry. So we've looked at comfort and the fact that we sometimes seek comfort from things and people as a substitute for God. And we must remember that the Holy Spirit is called our comforter. And then we've looked at compromise, where, dare I say, earthly things have come between us and God. We haven't put him first, and sometimes we haven't even put him second, third, or whatever. We dilute what God says and allows in our life, and we allow the things of the world to pollute us. We're not overtly following Jesus. So we come on to this subject of fear. And what do we understand is fear? And I've got scared, frightened, terrorized, dread, panic. That's, I suppose, generally when we feel things aren't in control or in the right order, trying to use the right word of when things aren't doing what we think they should be doing. That's when we become fearful. Now, on the next slide, I've put the word feelings. And we do have feelings. Sometimes we try and ignore them, especially if we're men. And reality may be different to what our feelings are saying. But fears can be irrational, but very real. I don't want to go into too much into this, but the other thing is sometimes fears can turn into phobias. So the next slide, oh, I haven't got it, but I had, I found the three words that for fear in the Bible. I hope you're not wanting me to say all the different words, but basically you can see the first one of phobias is like our phobia. And it's called by being scared, that which may cause flight, i.e. we run away from it. That's not, Then the second one sounds like Delilah, actually. Could be similar, cowardly or timid. And then the third one, which is probably the best one, Elubia, is of caution and then reverence. And it's interesting, a lot in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it is translated as fear, but in the New Testament, it is translated as love. So I'm going to come back to that. So the next slide has got a list of all the phobias, not the wanting to, but there are a lot of around. And people have a lot of fears. I know somebody who doesn't like flying. And, it's coming back. So, moving on, we come to the next slide where it says, where situations appear under control, we tend not to fear. When we things are right order, when we trust that what's going to happen is going to happen, we're not fearful. And quite often the laws of the land which people follow, reduces our fear. When the right laws are there, we understand that, yeah, that's what it should be, so we're not fearful. But also, when disasters happen, or an accident or earthquakes, it dents our confidence, and we can be fearful that it could happen again. And, yeah, dare I say, like in Turkey, where they've had massive earthquakes, they'll be fearful to go back into houses because they don't know when the next earthquake is going to happen. The next slide comes with what people can manipulate our fears. And I looked on the word dictionary of manipulative. A manipulative person tries to control people to their advantage, tending to influence or control someone or something to your advantage, often without anyone knowing it. The best example for that at the present day, dare I say, is Russia. That country is run on fear. They tell the people what they want them to hear. And, yeah. So, before I move on to the next slide, I just want to bring some biblical context to all of this. And I'm going to use John 10, 7 to 10. And this is where Jesus is our shepherd. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." That is a promise of God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't want to overemphasize what the thief can do, but I do believe the thief brings in fear. And we know the thief is Satan. And I've just rejigged the last previous slide and put that Satan can manipulate situations to use our fears for his advantage. A manipulative evil spirit tries to control people to their advantage. Satan and evil spirits influence or control people or situations to their advantage, often without anyone knowing it. It's a question of we're not aware of what is going on in the spirit. Then the spirits can do things without our knowledge. That's why we need to keep close to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to John 10, it says, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." That is what Jesus wants. So we turn the slides off, we've done the theory bit. And I want to say that I have had a real battle over this subject. And the reason is where you read people like, dare I say, Jonathan Edwards in the 1700s preached a sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." Now, I've not read it, and I may be giving him an injustice, but I believe God calls us to love and does not call us to use fear to bring people to Jesus. Because if we get people to come to Christ by fear, they will fear him. They will not come to love him. And you can see where people are, dare I say, fathers who have children who rule by fear. That's not love. That's not Jesus. However, I will say in Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10, it does refer to fire and brimstone. And it says, then a third angel followed them, saying in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That is where that type of preaching has come from. But if we choose, and if we choose to be outside of God's protection and love, then we suffer some consequences. But we are in God's protection and love. And the best verse, I think, is in 1 John 1, verse 18, where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That's the New King James Version. I'm going to do a lot of reading from the Amplified because it makes it louder and emphasizes it. So in the Amplified it says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, but has grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. Christ took on our sin. We don't have divine punishment because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We should not dread meeting Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we will be in awe, but we should not dread it. We should look forward to meeting him. Because it's not anything we can do. It's not by works, but by grace we are saved. I could go on that, but that is why we should not fear God. Because Jesus has said it. Well, I'll come on to that as well. So, I've just got a few verses from the New Testament which help emphasize this thing of not fearing. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Sorry, this is 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then Luke 1, verse 74, to grant us that we be delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And then Romans 8, verse 15, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's what God wants us to do. And Jesus teaches us about fear of God in Matthew 10 and verse 27 to 31. Wherever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. But do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them that falls to the ground, apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head, sorry if anybody's bald, are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. God values us. Now, I'm going to go to some Old Testament passages. Again, read from the Amplified. and it just gives an understanding better on the subject of fear. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his life seemingly is prolonged in spite of his wickedness, still I know that it will be well with those who reverently fear God, who fear and worship him only, realizing his omnipotent presence and his power. It's getting a right order to understand who God is. He is our creator, and we worship him. And we need to know that. In Proverbs 1, verse 33, it says, but whoever listens to me, wisdom will live securely and in confident trust, and will be at ease without fear or dread of evil. It's having confidence in our God. And then in Psalm 52, verse 12, who is the man who fears the Lord with awe-inspired reverence and worships him with submissive wonder? I'll say that again. Who is the man who fears the Lord with awe-inspired reverence and worships him with submissive wonder? Worship. He will teach him through his word in the way he should choose. It just adds to so much more in emphasizing what we do and worship God. And in Psalm 111, verse 10, the reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. A good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by those who do the will of the Lord. His praise endures forever. That is so encouraging. And in Job 28, verse 28, it says, but to man he said, behold, the reverential and worshipful fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. I'll come back to Job in a minute. And in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the reverent fear of the Lord, that is, worshipping him and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and preeminent part of knowledge. Its starting point is essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful in godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. It's very similar to another part I've just read. And there is so many other passages about the fear of the Lord, which all emphasize the same type of things. It's respecting God for who he is and what he does. It's understanding the power of Almighty God in awe and reverence. And it's understanding the need to worship him for who he is. As Robert does, and I'm not copying, but I picked up a lion's bite, which I thought was very good. It was on the 9th of March, a few weeks ago. And it was on the subject of expectancy. Press in and hear the sound of heaven crackling with excitement. Shake up your status quo. Stand under the heavens and see what I am about to say and do. I am coming like a rushing mighty wind, a cloud of glory. I do not want you to miss it by being caught up in your day-to-day activities and busyness. Remove the things that distract you. Watch and listen. Meet with me under the heavens. I want to be together with my people, and I want to rain down my revelation upon you. I invite you to host my holy presence. Allow my presence to expose your sin. Allow my spirit to bring to you to the laver, to a place of repentance, and to the blood of the Lamb that purifies you. And it has activation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sit with me and allow my Holy Spirit to bring you from a starting place of reverential fear into knowledge, power, counsel, understanding, and ultimately to a place of wisdom. Like wave after wave of the washing of the water of the word, allow me to bring you from glory to glory. And then it refers to three passages, which I think I've probably read already. But that is what God wants to do. Can I bring you, Janet, up to here? So just, Janet had a word, and I think it's good time. Yes.
I saw a bird box, and inside the bird box were little baby birds. Well, the parents were flying to them and feeding them and that, and the little birds were happy in their box. Anyway, eventually the time came where they had to go and fly. Whatever the danger was, they had to go out. Well, we're like those little birds. We have to leave our comfort zone. We're fed by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit says, when you leave your comfort zone, you're not going to be by yourself. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go and be ahead of you. So do not be afraid. Wherever you go, I am with you.
Amen. Well.
Maybe it didn't come out right.
No. It came out beautifully. Don't worry, Janet. And it very much adds to what else I've got to say. So when we come out of our bird box, is everything in the garden going to be rosy? There's no eagles around flying around to want to eat us, or pussycats. I just want to change emphasis, etc., and just bring a passage from the Bible about Paul. And 2 Corinthians 11, about 24. And it's Paul saying what a beautiful, rosy life he has had. It starts, well, I'll go bring it on verse 24. It says, from the Jews, five times I have received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. That's a bit different. His concern is about other churches, not about himself. Who am I weak? Who is weak and am I not weak? Who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. To say the Christian life is easy is wrong. I'm not suggesting that any of us will go through what Paul went through. But I'm just trying to bring it into context. Because sometimes when people say, do not fear, it means there's not going to be no problems. That is not the case. And I want to look at God's promises to help us and to protect us. And I start in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And it says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to man. Sorry, to human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide you the way out as well. So you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation and go and become joy. God provides us with strength, not from ourselves, but from Him. Yes, we have to do our part to resist temptation, but He will help us. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you, setting you on a firm foundation, and will protect and guard you from the evil one." And then in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, be assured. I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation." That is powerful. And then he said to Joshua in Deuteronomy 13, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." And he said this several times. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you." And God is the same. I've already read it. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And He will not fail us or abandon us. His promises are true. And then pick up on a couple of Psalms of David. In Psalm 5, verse 11, "But let all who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, because you cover and shelter them. Let those who love your name be joyful and exult in you." And then Psalm 38, verse 19, "Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all." I mentioned Job earlier. And if you read in Job 3, verse 25, this is probably the only negative part for Job. It says, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid has come upon me." Job trusted God, but not in everything. And his fears came to pass. He lost everything of his family apart from his wife, all his possessions. And then he lost his health, but he still trusted God. And if you read the whole of Job, and the helpful people that tried to put him to correctly, God sorts out, and he hears at the end as twice as much of what he had before. Yes, he went through a lot. So coming back to some more Psalms. God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 7. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proven help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower. Which means in your high tower you can look down on what's going on. God knows what's going on, sometimes when we don't. And in Psalm 57, verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God," this is David, "be gracious and merciful to me, for my soul finds shelter and safety in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge and be confidently secure until destruction passes by." The next passage in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, 9. You may not find this helpful, but it is. We are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair, hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted, to stand alone, struck down, but never destroyed. That is a promise of God. That is Paul's writing. We've read what Paul went through. It doesn't matter where we are, what we are pressurizing, what we go through. We are not crushed. We mustn't give in to fear. God is with us. Nicola said something the other Sunday. So you have to be careful what you say in church. This was just a general, I'm not fearful at all. So I thought I'll put Nicola on the spot to just explain what she means by that. We might get Vinny as well, but... get added bonus. Yes, hopefully.
I regret saying it now. I don't even know how you heard that. Did I even say that to you, Dave? Can we
no,
just...
No, you know, I just heard you say
you just
it
heard
some...
me say it to someone else.
Yes.
So, yeah, a bit of a testimony about me and fear. So I used to be really scared of everything. Before I came back to the Lord, I was really, really fearful of everything. I'd been brought up in a way that had compounded that fear and made me more fearful and anxious because we were always looking for the things that were going to get us. So, sorry, Mum, if you're listening on Zoom. I don't know where you are. So, when I met Dave, I come back to the Lord and I was just, you know, in that yay, Jesus phase. I met Dave. Dave's not scared of anything. I don't know who does and doesn't know Dave and how well you know him. He's not afraid of anything, like, to what I thought was a point of stupidity. And when we first started going out, I'd be like, no, 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 no. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't go to the Ukraine. Something bad might happen. But we did. And it did. And we were all right. So there's lots of things that I've learned through my journey of learning to trust God. And lots of things. We've had changes of jobs. Gone to university, which is really scary, by the way. For me at that time, but now... it's just annoying, just for the record. And loads of different things have happened. We had miscarriages, changes in jobs, loads and loads and loads of things that we've had to overcome in the last nearly 7 years that we've been married. And through that, I've had to just give it to God, and I've had to just step back away from the fear, which feels really scary even to say that to everybody. But I knew that I wasn't scared anymore. There was a Cherish night last year, and they sang the song, which is, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more calm or something. I put my faith in Jesus because he knows just where I am. I can sing it, but I can't say it. Faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. And he won't. And then the bridge goes, rain came, wind blew, my heart is built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm going to make it through. And boy, did the wind come. And boy, did the rain blow. And the last year has been absolutely, absolutely wild. Wild, exciting, scary, dangerous, heartbreaking, invigorating, everything that it could possibly be. But I will not speak for Dave, you know, stood on the rock that's Jesus, and I'm really not afraid anymore. It's like, Nick, come and do this. Okay, then let's go. Let's see what's happening. So we've gone from a place of, oh no, we could not possibly ever do that. That is far too scary. And Dave having to persuade me to do anything, even just the smallest thing, like go for a walk. Like, I know that fear is unimaginable to some people, but that's really where I started to, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I've stand. wind came, rain blew. My house is built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm going to make it through. And those, you know, that song really has got me through. It's got other people in my family through as well. It's, you know, I share songs with people. I don't know if people have experienced this, but, you know, when we're going through hard times, I do tend to share songs. So, yeah, so that's really what my experience with fear is. And I'm not even scared standing here, which I probably shouldn't tell you either.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I did warn Nicola I was going to ask her to do it, so, and thank you for coming. So we need not to be afraid. I mean, in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your civic requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds, in Christ Jesus, is yours." That is just wonderful. I could go on and read Psalm 23, Psalm 91, or Psalm 121, but I won't. You can all read those. There are so many encouraging things where God has helped people, particularly the likes of David in his Psalms. And I just come back to 1 John 1, verse 18. "There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. Dread comes from the enemy. Dread does not come from God. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear. Perfect fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, but and not grown in sufficient understanding of God's love." I pray that we will know perfect, complete, full-grown love. And it comes back to, we are a child of God. Now, we've already sung this song, but I just want to play it. And this particular version, it's just got words, but actually was recorded in a jail by Zach Williams, no longer a slave to fear. I just want us to listen and look at the words, and to listen. Well, you don't have to look. If you feel that you are in a prison of fear, that we just need to listen to what God is saying to us. So if we can play the Zach Williams, "No Longer a Slave."
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child.